Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah. Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPALSLASLACRRDRAHAFAIR. Notice I'm not saying PA twice.
Until just now.
Wow. Or any of them other guys?
None of them.
Well, thank you for that. Welcome to Recovery 101. Shelly has a big mouthful of...
A big mouthful of anything.
Of licorice. It's not licorice, it's red vines. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelly.
And Mark.
I need to give her time to swallow before she stuffed more in her mouth.
I didn't have a huge bite back then either.
You do now.
One little piece of licorice. She's like this. I can talk around the licorice.
She's like this. I didn't have a little thing now. Awesome. Recovery 101 convention.
Yeah.
We've determined we think this needs to be in July.
Yes.
Yep.
This is mostly just in case Fran can come. If we start getting near the beginning of the football season, there will be absolutely no way she'll be able to do it.
Yep.
We're not sure she could do it anyway, but...
Right. But July still gives Katie time to book her flight. It gives Fran time to make arrangements to come. Gets everybody out there.
Katie, do you bring your own pole with you?
Bruce, jeez.
I'm just asking.
But if we make it in July, that gives our friend Greg in Vegas enough time to get the pool ready.
Right. Need to talk to Yvette, make sure that we've got some entertainment.
True.
If not, Katie can be the entertainment, but...
Oh, I'm... You know what? I'm 100% sure we could get entertainment through Yvette.
Okay.
I'm just volunteering you for that, Yvette.
We just did. Whoops.
Yvette could bring a pole.
Actually, I think her pole is a permanent installation.
Oh, yeah. They installed a pole in the studio. We should really go out and check that out sometime.
Yeah, we should.
I saw...
It'll be on the way to Vegas.
I saw on Facebook, someone posted a thing of this gal, and she's a rather rotund individual, blonde gal, and she goes up to the stripper pole. I'm, of course, expecting the worst, you know, the stripper pole fail where the thing's going to break off. This gal's fantastic. She's spinning all over it. She's doing the splits in the air. I was like, at the end of it, you know, and everyone's commenting like, you go, girl. You know, this lets you know that you don't have to be a thin mint to, you know. To look sexy on a pole. And I was like, watching this thing at the end, I was like, hey, I rocked it.
You're watching stripper pole videos on...
On Facebook.
On Facebook?
He watches stripper pole videos all the time.
Okay.
He's addicted. We're planning an intervention.
Are we?
SPA.
Stripper Poles Anonymous.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
If you go relapse, you shake the whole crowd with you.
That's true.
Especially after the seventh tradition, you got $27 bills in your
That's
pocket.
That's right. Make it rain. Make it rain. You know what that means.
All right.
It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Shelly, does that mean you're not doing the news?
No. Bruce is going to do this portion
of the news.
People
are tuning out right now.
Bruce is doing
They'll
the news.
They'll come back in 10 minutes.
Ooh. Ooh.
I am so hard on my poor husband. I am so sorry. He does a lot for us. I should be nicer. I'm sorry.
When he's awake.
Yeah, that's true. When he's awake.
I love this
guy. Actually, no. When he's asleep, he also does something for me because it gives me time to play my Fish World game on Facebook.
There you go.
All right.
And that's the end of the boozing. No. this guy, officers found Joni Jesus Saravilla.
Three names.
26, with a bloody face, out on the road outside of Dog's Sports Cafe.
Dog the Bounty
Hunter? He told the Davies Fire Rescue Unit he was jumped and beaten up. While I was in there, I was doing nothing.
Of course.
Minding my own business.
Yes.
In Dog's.
Well, he had been booted a little bit earlier in the day for harassing women at the bar.
Oh.
And he returned about an hour later, jumped up on the bar, and began waving his machete.
His giant clock? Wait.
Yeah, it's giant clock.
Wait, are we talking a real machete or?
A real machete.
Oh.
A big, long, sword-looking knife thing.
Okay.
Now, so, although he said he had got jumped and beaten, actually the wounds were as a result of the bar stools people were throwing at him up on the bar. People were using bar stools and pool cues to knock the machete from his hand. So things aren't always as they appear, apparently.
Machete versus pool cue is not good for if you have a pool cue.
Yeah, but apparently it worked. But machete versus bar stool?
Yeah, that's another story.
Yeah. Bar stools are not the lightest things on the planet.
But here's, clearly, the bar patron, the people at Dog's Bar, those are the ones we need on airplanes. Because if they can knock the machete out of a guy's hand with their bar stools and pool cues, we want them on the planes when the terrorists come.
True. But what do they have to knock things out of their hands with?
An airline hostess.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Just grab a hostess. Wham.
Beauty.
It's a Twinkie thing. Just grab a hostess.
Now I feel bad because there are a lot of hardworking, very intelligent air hostesses.
This is the story of Walter Williams.
Oh, dear.
Walter Williams.
This is not going to end well, is it?
Actually, it ends surprisingly well.
Oh, okay.
he's definitely a person who's alive and kicking. They found him in the Porter and Sons funeral home on Yazoo Street.
Wait, was he being laid out?
He awoke in a body bag.
Yikes.
Oh.
Wait,
how'd he get in the body bag?
Well, the county sheriff says, I don't know what happened. He was dead. I watched him zip him up in the bag. They took him over to the funeral home.
Is this Chuck Norris in disguise?
Yeah. They pronounced him dead at his home in Lexington.
And then he got better.
It was 10:30. And at 2:30, my cousin called me and said, not yet. He goes, what do you mean, not yet? He goes, Daddy's still here. They went to the funeral home. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, the bag was sitting straight up on the table, and there was kicking and yelling coming from inside the bag. Paramedics rushed him to the hospital, where he said he's happy to be alive. This is why I said it could have been better for this guy. And
so what happened to him?
He said that possibly his pacemaker may have stopped working and then started up again.
Oh, okay.
Family member said he's a fighter.
Apparently.
And the cop said he was sure fighting to get out of that bag.
They should put a zipper on the inside of the bag,
yes,
too.
Yes, they should.
Of course, you know what's freaky about that? If you ever saw the bag, you go, why is there a zipper on the inside?
It's so that in case you're not dead. They used to put strings inside the coffins so that when people who had been buried, because back in the dark ages or whatever, you weren't always sure if the person was dead. Because there were a lot of diseases that mimicked death. So they always put a string inside the coffin so that if the bell rang in the night, the graveyard workers, the keeper, could come and dig you out. Because they would know that you were still alive.
Wouldn't the grayish-bluish skin be a clue?
Well, no, because there were diseases back then that caused grayish-bluish skin.
Would they not breathing for a day and a half?
They weren't real pro on figuring out when people were actually breathing and not breathing.
Well, that's why, isn't that why they used to have the bell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ran down through the ground.
You were paying attention during this whole conversation we just had.
I missed it.
Okay.
Well, because I'm reading to make sure the next story goes off without
okay.
it.
Okay, go ahead. Move on.
We're bantering.
Versace pockets. Apparently this guy's some guy's Twitter name. Thanks to First We Feast, we're now fully aware of what made this 18-year-old guy named Versace pockets have sex with a ham and cheese hot pocket.
Ow.
Ooh. How long do you put it in the microwave for?
Yeah, wouldn't that cost blistering?
Guys, how long you microwaved it for?
He did it to gain Twitter followers.
He
the
did.
The plan didn't exactly pan out the way
so
he
had. Uh-oh.
He's now banned from Twitter and blocked by the at Hot Pockets email address. He said, I tried doing it with the condom, and it was just way too hot. I put it in the fridge for a little while, and I was like, dude, this is a quote, dude, I'm like going to have to use a condom if I'm actually going to stick my dick in this hot pocket.
If it had been in the fridge, then wouldn't it be a cold pocket?
He ended up with second-degree burns at the emergency room. Can you imagine? I got a second-degree burn on my elbow. It made this huge bubble on my elbow. Can you imagine? Second-degree burn on your entire penis.
No, actually, I can't because I don't have a frame of reference for that.
You do. It's just really, really, really small.
Ow.
Hot pocket's not that big.
Yeah, it's really not.
I know. I was like, I wouldn't go around bragging about that.
I feel bad for this guy.
Yeah, I was, that's true. I feel kind of sad.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta.
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 Atlanta police are searching for a woman dressed in a Waffle House uniform.
Oh.
She dressed up to be an area manager and went in and took all the deposits.
Oh.
Oh, that's awesome.
From several Waffle House stores.
Oh, yikes.
And said she was picking them up for the corporate office. And one of the managers said, at one of the stores said, I don't ever remember them doing that before, and immediately called police. But they still hadn't found her. Now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that she turned in a cash register, turned in the cash register key to them, but no one caught her, and she's off with all the money. She was seen leaving the store in an SUV with Georgia tags and a male driver, and that was the last they saw of her.
Is that going to affect the Waffle House Index for FEMA?
Chicken and waffles.
I don't think so. The Waffle House Index is alive and well.
Okay, this is classic. Guy gets pulled over for speeding. He's got an excuse.
What's his excuse?
I won the lottery.
That's a good one, actually, because I would be really excited if I won the lottery.
Massachusetts man had a pretty good excuse. When he got pulled over, he had just won a giant lottery and was on the way to collect his cash. Turns out, he was a 22-year-old guy. He was lucky in more ways than one. The officer who pulled him over issued a verbal warning, told him to slow down and drive more safely so that he'll be able to spend his money. And
how much did he win?
He won $50,000 on a scratch-off ticket.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's cool.
On his way to the Massachusetts State Lottery headquarters in Braintree to collect his winnings. When they pulled him over, the policeman said he was literally shaking at the wheel. He thought he might have been on meth. The guy produced the ticket, showed it to him, and the cop said, you have a good day, but drive safe. Apparently, he went off to claim his prize and spend his money.
I would, too. I'd be shaking, too. I'd be so excited.
Chicago. My kind of town.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Guy accused of operating a methamphetamine lab. Appears in his booking photo wearing a Breaking Bad shirt.
Perfect.
Breaking Bad, of course, the show about the teacher that makes meth.
Isn't that like the uniform now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meth lab uniform?
Breaking it's like Bad the guy show. Who got into the plane, was flying his plane a while back ago, and the bird flew through the windshield.
Yeah.
And they're interviewing the guy after he lands. He has an angry bird t-shirt on.
Oh, yes.
Perfect.
Nice.
That's good.
Nice. Cook County officers said they went to check a tip at his house. They found beakers, burners, chemicals, and instructions for making meth. In the guy's house, also psychedelic mushrooms were around.
I'm studying to be a chemistry teacher.
That's it.
I have a quick answer.
Yeah, he was 21 years old. He possession of controlled substance, methamphetamine, manufacturing materials, psychedelic mushrooms. He was arrested. $100,000 bail.
Ooh.
And it says it wasn't immediately known if he has an attorney. I'll bet he does now.
I'll bet he does.
Guy gets a DUI, blames his GPS.
Really? How'd that work out?
The GPS sent him to the wrong bar, and they overserved
alleged
him.
Drunk driver. West Hartford, Connecticut. He blamed his GPS for sending him onto the interstate in the wrong direction. So he's driving down the interstate against traffic, says it's his GPS that did it.
His GPS got him drunk or just got him caught?
Well, I'll tell you, they jumped on this guy quick. There was a guy right there at the right time because he was getting on the – he hadn't actually gotten all the way on the freeway. He's getting on – or the interstate. He's getting on the interstate. They catch him on the ramp, but he's going the wrong way. So he told the officers, I'm not familiar with the area, and the GPS said turn left here, so I turned left here. Now, I can kind of sort of see that.
You can?
Except he blew a .24.
Okay.
Yeah. He was arrested for DWI.
Never would have gotten caught if the GPS would have
He got released on a $500 bond.
$500, that's it?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Was this a misdemeanor DUI?
I don't know. It doesn't say. He has court March 6th. Oh, and we'll end up with this one because this is the cool as hell story. Couple in California. They were walking their dog. They found a real pot of gold.
Oh,
the largest such ever hoard found in the U.S. is 1,411 gold coins between 1847 and 1894, worth an estimated $10 million.
Yep, I heard about this. But they were walking the dog on their own property.
Yes. Most of the coins are $20 gold pieces known as double eagles. Now it's known as the Saddle Ridge Hoard. Both the location of the land and the couple's identities is being kept a secret because now the couple thinks there might be more.
Ooh-hoo.
So now I think they're going to start digging on their property. Yard.
So it's like an archaeological expedition going on in their backyard.
Yes.
Now I love it how they say we're not telling the location of this. Then it says at least one of the coins came from a much earlier bonanza, a $5 piece known as a De Longa half eagle, and it says that's De Longa, Georgia, for those who don't know. And I'm thinking, how many people do you think live in De Longa, Georgia? Because now I'm pretty sure I know where these guys live, and I'm pretty sure that somebody at the local diner is talking about this discovery. I think I could find their house. Book us a flight to De Longa, Georgia.
I think I'll probably pass. Let them enjoy their...
Good for them.
Yes. Let them enjoy
And that,
meeting.
My friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Sweet.
Dude.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Welcome back.
To the same old place that you laughed about. You laugh about it, don't you, Shelly?
I laugh at you guys.
That's why we do it. Close enough for government work. So.
And I work for the government, so I should know.
12-step HR department part two. Because there's more to talk about. Matter of fact, Shelly had something to talk about.
Shelly wanted to go a new direction.
That meeting.
We actually may want to pause this for a minute. Because it just occurred to me that by the time we get done, it's going to be too dark to change that light bulb.
That's all right. Talk fast.
Talk fast. Okay. Yes, we have a light bulb out in the studio.
We can talk in the dark.
I know, but I can't change the light bulb in the dark.
So...
And it's one of those big, huge tubes.
It's okay. My phone has the world's brightest flashlight on it.
All right. Well, anyway, so what was concerning me in the last one, we were talking about predators and, you know, people like of that ilk in the last show. But on this show, what happens when you're in a meeting, and this has happened to me, when there is an issue, an outside issue that comes into the meeting and suddenly you have to deal with it. And it really does need to be dealt with. I'll give you the example for me was that we had a long – I was the secretary of a rather large meeting, and we had a longstanding member who had been at that meeting for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Everybody knew him. And his ex shows up at the meeting, against whom he has a restraining order. Or no, it was the other way around. It was a she, and she was the longstanding member. Against him, she has a restraining order against this person. However, this person also claims to be an alcoholic. And – we're supposed to, you know, alcoholics, the only requirement for membership is that you be an alcoholic. And he pitched a fit and said, I have a right to be here. I'm an alcoholic. It's an AA meeting. And she was freaked out because she's got a restraining order against him. And she says he's violent. And as the secretary, I said, you know what? The only thing I can think of is she is a longstanding member. She's been here for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Yeah. We all know her. This is the first time you've ever been at this meeting. There are many other meetings on a Sunday night. I'm sure somebody can get you directions to one, but I had to ask him to leave. And he did not want to leave, and I had to call the hospital security at the place of the facility where we were having the meeting. Mm. And did I do the right thing? I don't know. To this day, yes. I don't know.
The reason why I would say yes is just because someone's an alcoholic has a right to be at a meeting, if there is a legal reason set forth by a court that he cannot be within a certain distance of this person, doesn't matter where they are. Doesn't matter where they are. He's not allowed to be within, whatever it is, 100 feet of her. You can't be there.
Right. So his thing was, well, then make her leave. My position was, she's an active member of this group, and this is the first time we've ever seen you. So
send them over to one of the two Alano clubs within a mile.
True. Within a mile of the place.
You know, if you've really got to be at a meeting, there's at least two other meetings within a mile of where you're at. Both easy to find. I don't know. I think you did the right thing. What do you think, Mark?
It's an outside issue.
That's exactly my point, though. What do you do when an outside issue raises its head and it has
to be dealt
with?
That's a question. Why'd you get involved in it at all?
Because it was brought to me by her.
And she's the secretary of the meeting.
And I was the secretary.
Okay. So why'd you get involved in it at all?
Well, what was I supposed to do?
This is not my issue. Don't bring it to me.
Wait. She's HR. She's 12-step HR.
Saying. So whose issue is it? She has the right to be there. Well,
she has the right to call the police.
That's true.
That's true.
She has the right to call security. He has a right to be there.
Shelly, let me see the back of your wrist.
But what are...
Slap it with a ruler.
But what... What are his motives for being there?
Did that he come would be because my question.
She was there? Or did he just come because it was a meeting he found in the directory she happened to be there?
Well, no. During the course of talking, you know, because he's on one side of the room, she's on the other side of the room crying... in talking with him, he said he came there because she was there, and she won't let me talk to her.
Oh, well, he's done.
So.
Yeah. Well, I have a question. She's on one side of the room. He's on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Put them each in a chair on opposite sides of the room and start the meeting.
Well, technically, that's still a breach of her.
So what?
Because he's within 100 yards.
So what?
Dun, dun, dun.
If she is,
ding, ding. Round
if one. she's visiting a friend in the hospital and he gets in an auto accident and comes into ER, do they need to find another ER to take him to if the hospital room and the ER are within 100 feet of each other?
Well, no, in that case, she had to leave.
Why? She was there first.
Because he's being treated.
He's being treated in an AA meeting.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Now I have guilt on top of everything else.
Present wrist. Slap.
I agree with you, Shelly. Yeah, he should leave, but I'm just having some fun.
Well, what about other? I mean, that's just one example. Yeah. There are other examples, like when you know there's someone you know is on the Megan's list for being a child pedophile and somebody brings their kid to the meeting. Mm. Should he have to leave or the mom with the kid leave?
Why should anybody have to leave?
I think
because he's legally not allowed to be around a child.
What I would do in that case is I would either myself or somebody else. I'm sure there's more than one person knows about this. I would be quick to tell her that I wouldn't even point out the guy because that's breaking anonymity, which I'm still a fan of not breaking anonymity. But I would say, ma'am, I just want to let you know that there is a person that attends this meeting that is on Megan's Law list, has had problems in the past for being a child predator. I will tell you this because you have your child here. You may elect to stay, and I would say keep an eye on your child, or you may want to go to another meeting.
So how'd you find out that Johnny S. was on Megan's list?
Well, I mean, obviously this comes out of an actual circumstance.
Yes.
In that case.
Oh, my God. Did I guess the guy's name?
No.
Okay, good. I just kind of threw that out there.
In this case, somebody told me, and I'd met the guy, and he seemed like a nice enough
James
guy.
James actually looked him up.
I looked him up after I heard about it.
Yeah. And he's on there.
He's there.
Picture and all.
And then there was another circumstance where I was actually pushed around by somebody who turned out to be on Megan's list.
Well, by that thinking, if you're in a 12-step meeting, particularly a drug-related 12-step meeting, and somebody comes in who's an off-duty cop, should people be warned that there's a police officer in the room?
Why?
Because
they shouldn't be doing anything
you could
illegal.
Share. But you could share about something you've done.
True.
And you could now have an investigation opened against you because you shared something in the room that you would not have shared had you known there was a law enforcement officer in the room.
Now, I have actually quite a bit of experience with that as someone. There was a guy named Sheriff Mike. He used to go to the 502 Club all the time. There was also Bomb Squad Bob.
Yep.
Mike and Bob both a significant amount of time at the time.
Yep.
And they would say, actually, usually these guys would normally say right at the beginning, he'd say, I'm Sheriff Mike. And I mean, I heard people share, but I don't know that this would always be the safest thing, but I heard people share a variety pack of things in front of this guy. And of course, the guy never did anything because he really shouldn't.
Right.
But I could see where it could be a sticky wicket.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard people share in the rooms. And while they're sharing, they go, and there's some other things that I can't share right now because the statute of limitation may have not run out yet.
I've said that before.
If that were to be shared and there was a police officer in the room, an investigation could be opened to see what you've done in the last 7 years.
Could be. Again, though, you go to the thing of, are those the things you should be really sharing in an open meeting of AA, or is that the kind of thing you dump on your sponsor?
Well, no, but if you were to share something like what I just said.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. It's,
when years ago when it was within 7 years.
Yeah. So, is that something you should share in a meeting? Well, I don't know. A meeting is supposed to be a safe place for you to share whatever you feel the need to share.
Of course, what my sponsor told me is if you're going to share things like that, you should share those with me. That's not for open meetings.
Yeah.
Now, what he also told me is there will come a point in your life where you may want to share that story where the statute of limitations is gone because it may help somebody else who's new that's in a situation like that and goes, oh, my God, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Now, what other kinds of...
Back to the HR department.
Yeah, what other kinds of things could we... come up with. How about...
Well, I wanted to make one note is that if there's a cop in the meeting, an active duty cop in the meeting, and you're concerned about what you're going to share, keep in mind that there's a really good chance that that cop also doesn't want anyone else to know that he's in the meeting.
And he doesn't have to break his anonymity to investigate you.
That's true.
But I'll tell you what, if I was getting investigated by a cop, first thing I'd be is like, you know, this guy saw me at an AA meeting.
I only shared this.
This guy's on, this guy, this guy is currently on duty, and he's trying to get sober.
But this is the mandatory reporter issue I have in 12-step rooms also.
The what?
The mandatory reporters.
Yeah, if you're a mandated reporter by the court, you have to, and somebody shares something sensitive like that, and you're a mandated reporter, you're up a creek. You have to tell, you're by law. And if you don't, you can get in
trouble. I have a huge problem with that.
I'm thinking that Sheriff Mike and Bomb Squad Bob
mandated
broke
reporter.
That many times because
they
I'm positive. Dude, this is a kid. Mike, years and years ago, Mike had like 22 years. I mean, he must have heard just a variety pack of crap. I mean, I'm sure he did. Now, apparently the mandated reporter didn't actually turn into a mandate for him. And I think maybe that comes down to someone that really takes the anonymity of the program at heart. Matter of fact, I got to tell you, Sheriff Mike probably saved my life one time. I had an incident where I had...
You didn't know she was married.
I had appropriated a modicum of drugs from someone in not the most up-and-coming way. This girl's boyfriend got out of prison, was at a meeting I was at, mm-hmm. walked up to me at coffee break while I'm getting coffee, mm-hmm. said, I'm so-and-so. I didn't recognize the name. I'm so-and-so's boyfriend. I know exactly what you did. I'm going to kill you after this meeting.
Oh.
I'm like, oh. Now, after the meeting, I do what I would do, which is go straight out the back door.
Uh-huh.
The guy's out there. Sheriff Mike is also out there.
Huh.
This guy brandishes a knife and is instantly taken into custody by Mike, who heard the guy say this to me at coffee break.
Uh-huh. I was hanging out close by just...
Yeah, and I thanked Mike numerous times after that. Of course, the guy is a parole guy.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Immediately. Pull a weapon. Never heard or saw anything of that again. But in a weird sort of way, that was a thing that he heard in a meeting. Of course, it was a little more immediate, and the guy threatened to kill me. Now, I never even had to do anything. I never even – I didn't have to go to appear on anything. They may have just pulled him up for
violating his parole.
Having a knife,
yeah,
and using it in a threatening fashion. Yep. And but again, there's the same guy that's heard many people share about a variety pack of things.
He took care of it in house.
He took care of it in house.
Yeah,
but then again, didn't take care of zillions of other things he heard in house. But of course, these would all be things that did not have immediate repercussions.
Yeah.
No one's life was in danger.
No one's life was in immediate
danger. You
get
stuck like a pig.
Yeah.
Well, then I am very grateful. Thank you, Sheriff Mike.
Yeah. So no one wants to visit the...
go there, Bruce.
The Boy Meets Girl on AA campus again?
No, we did that last show.
Yeah, but
why? Did you have something else to say?
Well, because I gave my last words and then no one was able to...
My
feeling was... That if I'm a guy in sobriety,
yeah,
and I am trying to hang out with people in sobriety,
yeah,
hence I am going to try and get a girlfriend in sobriety,
right? Yep.
But then if I ask a girl for her number, suddenly I'm labeled as a predator. Why is that?
You know, Bruce, there's last words you use for a lot of different shows. I'm glad you don't use them for this topic.
If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing.
Yikes.
Yeah.
No, but I mean seriously.
No, but I mean seriously. What?
Well, I mean, we talk to people. Hey, you know what? You should stay in recovery. You know, you should hang out with people in recovery.
Yeah.
You should stick with the winners. You should stay with people you meet in meetings. And then the guy sees a
room.
Girl he
stay
finds
in the room
attractive,
where you'll be safe.
And he gives her his number, and suddenly he's a predator. Now, and maybe not. I'm not even talking about during a meeting. Could be a coffee break. Could be before a meeting. Could be after a meeting. I don't think that you should be asking for people for numbers during the meeting, regardless. Even if you want a guy to sponsor him, you should ask him after the meeting. But you guys don't have any opinion on that?
I don't know. It depends on the circumstances in which you are requesting the phone number. If you're someone with 30 years and you go up to a chick that's got 48 hours and you want her phone number to try to get to know her, there's something wrong. If you have 60 days and your head's starting to come out of the funk, and you maybe want somebody to go to the movies with, so you ask somebody for their phone number and say, hey, you want to go to the movies, that's a little different. Because the person with 30 years knows what they're doing.
Then what if at the movies I turn all predatorial because nobody knew?
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, yeah, but that's like anything in life. You could be two normal people going out on a date. You have no idea if the guy's going to...
Exactly. Dun, and dun, see, that's dun. The point I was making about what that woman on that show that Mark had mentioned, where she's like talking about guys that are predatory in meetings. I'm like, how would you know?
Well,
you know,
she needs to stay off the subway because there are predators on the subway.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How would you know? Because there could be a predator anywhere.
But nobody
you
tells
could be a predator
you
in Starbucks.
To ride the subway because you'll be safe there.
Safer to ride the subway than to walk down the dark street.
Sure, but people tell you, stay in the meetings and come to the meetings because you'll be safe there.
I think we need to extrapolate on that and say...
Well, we
come
don't.
To,
but let's,
we should. And sponsors should take their newbies aside and say, this is appropriate, A, B, C. This is not appropriate,
should it be
A, B,
put
F.
into the formats?
I'm just saying that a guy asking for a girl's number because he'd like to go out with her and he met her in program, he sees her after a meeting or whatever, asks for her number. I'm not sure that that's any different than someone asking you for a number at Starbucks or wherever. It doesn't make it any less safe to ask for someone for their number.
Right, but
I mean, certainly if the guy's a predator. Like as a Megan's List type of predator. That's different. But a guy that just says, hey, I think you're attractive. Hey, you want to go out and have some coffee sometime? You know, I'll give you my number. You give me your number. I'm not sure I'm not sure when that became from being unsafe to now I'm predator.
Go ahead, Shelley.
Because I think that within the confines of the program, if you are somebody who has, you know, a man or a woman who has some time and has worked the steps... You know better than to... You're preying on someone with no recovery while they're vulnerable so you can get in there before they know better.
What if it was your sponsee, Shelley?
Yeah?
Who had worked through all the steps in a lightning-fast period of time.
Right.
Now, I see people all the time have 2, 3, 4, 5 years, haven't even worked through all the steps.
Right.
You got a girl who's 90 days sober.
Right.
Has worked through all her steps.
Right.
Is she less vulnerable to succumb to someone asking for her number? Apparently not. She started dating someone fairly quickly.
Buyer beware.
Yeah, but she was also dating somebody who had about 90 days.
No.
I had something I was going to put in there, and now I forgot what it was.
Well, we've got all this stuff about how much time you should have to date. We talked about this on the show a while back ago. You know, because I actually had a sponsee who called me today. He was going to see a friend of his who he used to trudge with. No,
in a bad way.
No.
Used to trudge with formerly.
Meeting trudging buddy, who has quite a bit more time than him, but kind of just, you know, they became friends. And when we finished his eighth step, there was an amend that needed to be done to this guy, and he was actually seeing him today. But we did his eighth a while ago, and so he knew he had to make amends to this guy, and he had notes written down and called me to see if I could help clarify exactly what the amends were supposed to look like. So, you know, I remember, and so I said, yeah, you need to make amends for... Because it was about, he got into a relationship when he had about 4.5, 5 months. And the guy bagged on him for getting into a relationship in his first year. So he lied to the guy and told him he wasn't in a relationship anymore and he wasn't seeing her, even though he was still going out with her. So I said, yeah, you can go make amends for lying about it. I said, but I always still think about that, and I brought it up a few weeks ago, about why do we set things up with all these unwritten rules that basically put people with that much sobriety into that position where they have to lie in order to do something that we would have done ourselves in our lifetime.
I think that's assuming that they have to lie.
Well,
now, from a new corner perspective, he's thinking he has to lie.
Right.
And the reality is, we know after being around for a while, you tell your sponsor, you know what, I'm still dating her.
Yeah.
Or you tell your buddy, I'm still dating her. Yeah. I know.
Well, because I was
probably screw it all up.
I was his sponsor at the time. This guy had sponsored him, I guess, when he first came in for about 5 minutes. But, you know, he came to me and said, what do I do? I said, tell the truth. He goes, yeah. He goes, we're dating each other. I said, cool. I don't care, you know.
Right.
Of course, I had told him when he had about 90 days sober to go to young people's meetings to pick up on girls because they'll help with their recovery. I was kidding. He mentioned that to
You'll either grow or you'll go.
He mentioned that to a sponsor of one of the girls that he had gone out with.
Oh, jeez.
So.
Oh, there's a lot of
growth. You live?
There's a lot of growth in pain.
Yeah. I'm not invited to any women's stag meetings. So. It's. No, but, you know. So I reminded him what the amends was about, and he started going on and on and on. And I said, whoa, dude.
Yeah, it's not that
long.
Don't
create a new amends to have to make from the old one.
Yeah.
Say your piece and shut up.
Yeah.
You know? Because he started getting into explanation mode.
Well, and the dumb thing is, my opinion, I don't know either of these guys. Yeah. My opinion, he's going to say that to the other guy, and he's going to go, yeah, I figured you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, do you think I'm dumb? I didn't know. I knew you were still dating.
Because he's coming up on a year, and the other guy's got 17 years. Go make amends. Hey,
yeah.
I'm sorry I did that. Yeah, dude, it's cool.
Dude, you're not that important to him.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact whether you're dating or not is not.
Yeah, he really doesn't care.
You know what I like here? Shelly's here. I can't tell if she's looking that she's got to change this light bulb or if she's looking, trying to come up with her final words, which it's now time for. So, Shelly, what are your final words for 12-Step HR Department Part 2?
I don't have any, actually. Go to Mark.
Mark, what are your final words on HR Department Part 2?
When the day comes where somewhere along a format or things that are set enough in a meeting and somebody finally sues a program that has a little money, we'll see how it all comes out.
Shelly?
It's coming. I can see it coming.
That's been coming for 75
That's
years.
True.
Yeah.
You're there for recovery. That's the only purpose.
Yeah, recovery by injection.
No, leave.
Serenity injection.
Leave the other issues at the door.
Share your experience, strength, and length freely with others.
And you guys are the reason we're going to get sued.
Us?
We're not going to get sued. We don't even speak. We don't even speak for.
We're trying to help.
12-step fellowship.
Us, but never mind. Go on. Get on with your bad self.
Oh, not us. Okay. Yeah, because we're trying to be helpful here.
My final words on the entire HR, 12-step HR subject is. I think probably the best thing is in meetings to police thine own selves.
To thine own self be true?
Yes.
Wow.
Shelly.
What a concept.
I know.
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have an email to you, or you can subscribe and he'll send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town, such as the 12stepgazette.com/IE, which is from the Inland Empire in Southern California.
Yes. Yay. Mark.
Yes.
We have people that listen in a variety pack of places.
They do. They listen.
We've got one guy in Ghana that seems to listen just about every day.
We got a Ghana guy.
Yay, go Ghana.
One guy. You see the map, and there's one little blue spot in the middle of Africa, and this guy. I don't know who he is she is, but we appreciate it.
Hey, Ghana guy, Facebook us. Let us know who you are. So, well, anyway, however you listen to the show, we appreciate it very much. We do ask that you go visit recovery101.net and become a member of Podomatic and like shows, comment, follow, add us to your playlists. Show topics would be nice.
That would be. Top show.
Otherwise, we sit here. We will. If we don't get show topics here in the next few days, we will do 12-Step HR Department Part 3 next week.
Jeez. Or even worse, Allskate.
Yeah. We haven't done an Allskate in years.
That's true. Well, maybe a year.
I like Allskate.
Maybe next
year. No, we could rename them and do Trainwreck Part 1.
It'd be like, there'd be a series. It'd be like the 12 steps. Trainwreck Part 12.
For the three listeners that would be left after the first 11.
That's right. If you're Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you want to be a little more anonymous about your recovery, First, I suggest take down all those big graphics on your page and are recovery-oriented. I love that people's like, what do you guys do about anonymity? You go and look at their page, and their page is full of like NA or AA symbols. I'm like, really? Yeah. You're worried about that? Yeah. Anyway, if you want to be anonymous, you can join the Recovery 101 radio group. You need to ask to be a member, but they will let you. Don't spam, or they will immediately boot you. Ask Shelley, the HR department manager of the Recovery 101 radio group.
Yes.
She will hit you on the head with the slipper of death.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm way more subtle than that. You just disappear from the group forever.
Forever. And let's see. Oh, we've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
And I do the final or the music thing, I wanted to make mention of the fact that, you know, when you're listening to a radio show or whatever and you listen to the hosts, you're thinking that you'd never have contact with them. But you know what? I wouldn't mind if you guys want to email all you like. You can email the Recovery 101 thing. I'm happy to answer emails. And if you want, I can friend people on Facebook. I still have friend slots open on Facebook, just under Shelley Burnett. And look for what do I have, my picture? What is my picture? Oh, my picture right now is me and my grandson at the piano.
Okay.
So look me up on Facebook.
All right.
And Bruce is working on taking colors.
And Shelley?
What? Oh, the
Who's the lead out music by?
The Evangelicals.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
There's one thing that I love about him, is that there's so much about him to love. And when I say that I can't live without him, it's just that living without him wouldn't be living. Cause there's a way in which he brings me my sunshine, my blue skies and all my rainbows too. And in return I like to give him the weather, the stars above and sits on my face when he disappears. And it seems there's something special about him, though everybody's special in their own special way. But there's something about his kind of special, his kind of special really makes my day. me, long as you've got love for me.